What is up, people? This is Braxton.
This is Landon.
And welcome to the All for the Glory podcast.
Our lives should be modeled in an effort to glorify God in literally whatever we do. In this show, what our plan is we want to use this platform to tell stories, get real, have a lot of laughs, but most importantly, giving God glory in every conversation that we have, looking to point others towards Christ.
How many idiots does it take to set up a little podcast soundboard? Evidently more than just me and Braxton.
Yeah. Let's count here. We got Lando. That's one brain. We got Braxton. That's half a brain. Mom came over. That's another full brain, so we're at two and a half. And then Scott came over. He walked in, and it all of a sudden just started working.
I know.
And then we had Liv in the back, and she counts as a full brain most of the time, but she was
not tonight. Not tonight. Guys, we are back. Episode 3. Didn't know if we'd get here. After 2 weeks of some technological difficulties, we are here. We think we have everything right the way it needs to be.
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful.
We are good. We are live. We're here. I'm excited.
Kick us off, Lando. Let's go back to that MLB. Was it the All-Star game?
Yes. So,
kick us off.
We got a couple fun... I guess one of them's not fun, but one pretty fun thing that happened in the news lately.
World news.
For the longest time, there was a pretty long-reigning worst national anthem of all time, and that was held by Fergie. It was bad. If any of y'all remember that, it was back in 2018 in the NBA All-Star game. Even if you don't even know who Fergie is, you probably have seen the video because she's singing this national anthem. It's really bad, and it pans around to all the NBA players. And at the start of it, they're trying their best not to die laughing. But by the end of it, they're all breaking down, laughing super hard.
Pretty sure it was the Warriors and Cavs.
No, it was the All-Star game is what it was.
It was All-Star game? Oh, okay. Well, I remember Steph Curry, looking at Draymond, and they were, just dying.
Yeah. Both of them were playing. But now, I've actually never heard of this girl, but evidently she's kind of, big, isn't she?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I listen to one of her songs, regularly.
Yeah.
Say her name, Lando.
It's a girl that goes by the name of, I could totally be saying this wrong, but Ingrid Andress.
We're going to go with that. Address at an N.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
Yeah.
But she recently, this last weekend, during the MLB All-Star game, she sang the national anthem and... Not the All-Star game, but it was the home run derby. And I think that might have taken the cake.
Oh, she took it. Now, Fergie's was a little bit more dramatic, maybe. But
think Fergie's could have been okay if she wouldn't have tried so hard.
Yeah, but Address at the end, dude, she was she was really putting that extra oomph on it. You know what I mean?
It was almost sounded like she... didn't try.
Or she did it on purpose to make it sound
It sounded so bad it almost sounded like she did it on purpose.
I honestly think, our new guest Holly could probably do better than that. Lando got a new dog. Yeah, and Michaela.
She's sitting here with us. She's asleep.
Let her say something, Lando.
Holly, you got anything to say?
Sniffles, no nothing. She's nothing. Out for the count.
But yeah, I really think that she might have taken the cake for the worst national anthem ever. If you haven't listened to it, just go look up MLB All-Star Game National Anthem, and it'll pop up.
Yeah.
I've never heard
it's kind of everywhere.
Yeah. it's everywhere. If you haven't seen it, you're probably living under a rock. But it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Well, B-Rex was living under a rock because I didn't see it until Olivia showed it to me, and I probably wouldn't have seen it.
Well, if y'all don't know Braxton, he doesn't even really do social media, so that's understandable.
I mean, I'm kind of on for the podcast now, may drop y'all at any time.
Yeah, if he doesn't read it in the newspaper, he probably doesn't
Come
see
Come on now. Come on now.
But,
well, let's talk about this, though. She did come out with a statement that said something along the lines of, I was drunk during that, and sorry about it, going to rehab today, and that was kind of it.
You think that's legit?
We were talking to our girl at Sassy and Classy's Boutique today when we went to get us a chair. Shout out. And she said that, like, she made a good point saying, like, she didn't say I'm sorry. She didn't say, like.
She had an LOL to it.
Yeah, I think it was LOL. Yeah, so we're kind of thinking, like, it was like a.
It's either one of two things.
I don't know.
Like, it's either she's, like, she's kind of, like, so far gone to a point that she doesn't even realize what she's doing's wrong.
That's kind of where I'm at. Like, that's where I'm thinking.
Because there's a lot of people that are locked up.
Yeah, like, right. that fame will take you under.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that said, I mean, because she's got to be, like, an up and rising. Because, I mean, I am.
Dude, her, one of the songs, I can't even remember what it was called, but, like, it was, like, she's got, like, a smooth, like, country girl voice. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't bad. But, dude. But that lady had a Sassy and Classy, or Classy and Sassy. What is it? I'm sorry if we got that wrong. But she said that she saw some videos of her, like, live, like, in concert and stuff. And remember, she said that, like, even the videos of that wasn't good. So it may be like the auto-tune.
Maybe
an
all auto-tune person.
Never know.
MLB, they redeemed themselves, though. You probably didn't even hear it. But they followed
Cody Johnson.
Yes.
I did hear that because I'm all over the country music page. Yeah.
That was fire.
Dude, he was. Yeah, he killed it.
They redeemed themselves with
that. Dude,
that
one. Paul Skeens was up there, looked like he was about to tear up. Dude, he was good. I love Cody Johnson.
Yeah.
I've been to three of his concerts.
I've been to two.
Huh, got you beat.
So what we wanted to start off with is because sometimes, you know, we don't necessarily know if, you know, some of y'all listen all the way to the end of our show. We wouldn't if we were sitting there listening. But what we want to do is we want to invite some of y'all to email our page, allfortheglory1031@gmail.com. If you have any comments, suggestions, stuff like that, send them to us.
And we're going to put that on our Instagram and Facebook. Do you have our Twitter set up?
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
We'll get that set up. But we'll have our email and stuff and our bio and in the group on Facebook. That way, like, if y'all do have any questions or feedback or just anything, like, life-related you'd want us to talk on the podcast or anything like that, that y'all can email us. Me and Landon both have access to that, so we can see those and get those questions or ideas written down. So,
Also, another, this is a much bigger thing in the news that we saw, is the attempted assassination of former President Trump.
Yeah. You go first. How you feel about it? I mean, obviously it was crazy because if he would have turned his head an inch more, he'd be toast.
I have a lot of thoughts about it. My biggest thought is... I don't know how you can be somebody that doesn't believe in God and, like, not see God's hand in that.
Yeah.
Because my first thought is, what would have happened if he would have been killed? What would have came from that?
It's happened before.
Yes,
it's happened before, but in today's world where we have all this technology and as soon as it happens... 5 seconds later, you got 40 articles that have come out about, you know, it would have blew up a lot quicker. And, I mean, with where our country is and the debate and the
civil
the,
unrest that
and
we're
the
at.
Division.
Yes.
It would have, yeah, it'd cause a stink. And
do you think you could go as far as to say, like, civil war?
Possibly. Because there are some Trump-like diehards.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some Biden, or, I mean, I don't, I mean, it's, it, we're so divided, but if that would have happened with how our, like, you know, country is right now, yeah, I mean, possibly a civil war. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just to think, like, the difference of a couple centimeters is what changed, like, a huge outcome in history.
Yeah, God had his hand on that one.
God had his hand on that.
He
100%.
Did. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll go into this point real quick. I'm not for Trump or Biden, if anybody's wondering. I really don't care at all. But I will say this about Trump. What he did, that was a bad to the bone photo.
That when, was the coolest photo that has ever came out, ever.
That was sick. And I will say this. He got shot in the ear. And as a leader, he could have laid down and waited for somebody to come pick him up, but he got up and he was ready to fight. He had his hand up. He was screaming. He was ready to. He was ready to fight. And I respect that as a leader, because he was fighting for his people, mm-hmm. and he's got his fist up, raised high. He's fighting the security. He's ready to fight.
He was showing those people, or yeah. I guess all of us, that he's not going down.
He's not. And I mean, when you face near death, that is a near death experience.
And here's the thing.
And he knew it.
You don't teach that. That's straight fight or flight.
From your soul.
Yeah, that is straight fight or flight.
And he fought. And he didn't cower down. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I respect him for that. And I'm going to go as far as to say is that won him the election.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement. But I think that won him the election because people saw true character right there. And
the people that have came out endorsing him that I would have never thought would have.
Yeah.
That are full blown on hit, like
left wing, everything. Yeah.
Like that are in support of him now for that. I don't know. I just, like I said, we're not political. We're never going to try to get political in the show, but that is that could have been, if it not already is, a huge turning point in history.
Yeah, that turned. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and the thing is like when I mean like near death, like I said, that could change the whole course, like the mean tweets and all that. That may change the course of his life. Like when you face like near death like that.
You can't tell me that doesn't change you.
I mean, it's gonna change him in a way. We'll see like
how it does.
Time will tell. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of going to be interesting looking forward. And I heard something about him. He went golfing the next day.
Next day.
Did you see that?
So I read this. I have no clue if this is true, but like evidently it was from like some sort of trusted source. But this was the funniest thing. If it was true, it's so savage. So it said that he was out golfing and like for like the first nine, he like let a group of people come and like watch him.
Yeah.
And he was on like number nine and had a 20-foot putt. Drains it, looks to the crowd that's watching him, and says, "You want to know the difference between me and the shooter? I don't miss."
Oh. Okay, let's talk about that. I saw a picture today from an iPhone of somebody in the crowd that took a picture of the shooter on the rooftop with a gun in his hand. How does somebody in the crowd, that's a breakdown completely. That is a complete breakdown. I don't care what nobody says. It may not be a setup, but that's a breakdown by the Secret Service.
Mm.
And sorry, I'm using my hands over here.
I know.
That got me worked up because, I mean, you're putting, I mean, not just because it's the president, you're putting somebody's life in danger. Yeah. You know he's got a target on his back, like, look around.
Here's the thing.
And did you see the statement of the guy that killed him? He was on him minutes before. He saw him minutes before, and they told him not to kill him. And then right when he shot him dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he now doesn't have a job because he didn't obey orders.
Wow.
So that's kind of twisted, to which in a way, I mean, I get it. You got rules, you got laws. But in that sense, that's like life or death.
Here's what sucks about the situation is either one, it was a setup, and that's horrible.
You think so?
Here's the thing, I don't know.
Oh.
Either one, it was a setup, and that's crazy if that was. I hate to think that's the case because, I mean, who do you trust? Or two, that our Secret Service is that stupid.
I mean,
it's either one of the two. Either it was
on a building 130 yards away. Like, my nephew that was just born could have made that shot.
That's a chip shot.
I mean, if you're shooting it, like hunters, y'all know.
Yeah.
Like, with the, I mean, I can't ask you that on the show. you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. Don't say
so. Jimmy's backyard. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I mean, deer hunters, you know, 130-yard shot at a deer.
That's a chip
shot.
That's
a chip shot. Like, with a, I think he had a 223. I think that's what
something
he used.
Something like that. I don't know. I thought it said it was an AR.
Mm-mm.
Oh,
maybe it was.
Yeah, I think
maybe
it was.
Yeah. It wasn't a caliber. It wasn't a sniper rifle.
No. Yeah.
And, I mean, with AR, yeah, it's a little bit tougher of a shot.
It's still not a tough shot.
That's a 130-yard shot. I know it seems like a long ways to some of you that may not hunt. That's not a long shot. And for him to, I mean, it wasn't professional.
No.
It wasn't like
20.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing that they released, that like some sort of press, like when they were asked about it, of why snipers weren't even set up on that building in the first place. Like, Secret Service snipers weren't set up on that building in the first place.
Why?
It said that that building was too slanted. Like, the roof was too slanted.
The picture I saw, it looked flat.
It looked pretty flat. And then the building that was right behind Trump, it, like, was like a big pitched roof.
Yeah.
But they said, like, something along the lines of due to the safety of it.
And that's why?
Yes.
Let me find it. I don't know who all shared it. But anyway, it's some guy that owns some business and said something about how he wished his brains would have blew out. Not like... What kind of people, and I may be talking to some of you, are you to go on Facebook and joke about a dude's life? I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Landon Jackson, Braxton Allen. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't go and joke about and, like, talk about how you wish somebody was dead. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What has the world come to? I don't care how much you hate somebody.
Yeah. You can't just straight up be wishing death on somebody.
Like, that is unreal to me. But, I mean, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I was going to read this verse from, say it for me, Lando.
Ecclesiastes.
That's the one. it's talking about nothing new under the sun. I heard Uncle Si say it today on the Duck Call Room podcast. He said, there ain't nothing new under the sun, Jack. And I was like, that's a Bible verse. So I went and found it, and it matches up good with, yes, there's been, I mean, everything that happens in this world, all the evil, all the demonic and satanic crap that happens, it's always happened. It may be on a new level now, but it's still the same old sin. It's mm-hmm. the same old evil world that we live in. And so what it says, it's the ninth verse in Ecclesiastes. Did I say it?
Yes.
Perfect. It said, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. Our life is like the morning fog. It's here one day, and then it's gone the next. And that's in James. Not sure what verse, yeah. But I mean, it's happened for generations and years and years and years.
Sin, dude.
It is, and it's always going to be here.
You think about, I got this pointed out to me the other day. It was actually at church camp, and it got me thinking of, like, what you're talking about, how sin is sin. It might look a little different, but it's the same thing. Like, I mean, when it comes to, well, I guess what, there's some people that don't believe this way, but what some people would consider sin in our world, I think how we believe, is I think one of the top things that we would talk about is abortion. I mean, that's wrong. I mean, I don't care how you phrase it to me, it's wrong.
There's a lot of different aspects to it when you get talking about, like, rape and stuff like that, that gets a little bit deeper. But
but it's
on the I mean, like, most yeah. basic level you can put it, it is wrong. You're taking life.
But, and you think it's like, you're like, oh, well, that's like something that's just, like, been around lately. It's not that big of a thing. We had somebody point this out to us at camp. Daniel Conduit. He, I think I referenced him, like, week one or something.
I think you did. I may have to get him on the show.
I'll
talk about guests here in a minute. Go ahead.
He was talking about back in the time of Elisha, when he was in the showdown with the prophets of Baal. Those prophets of Baal, do you know what they did to, like, worship Baal? Like, what they sacrificed up for him? Babies.
Hmm. I
don't know how much different that is. It's not different.
It's not. And that's, hey, what, there's a religion that still believes that. To sacrifice babies, what is it?
Well, there are, what's crazy is there's still, it's not like actual full countries, but there are, like, small, like, villages,
yeah,
that, like, still, like, worship Baal.
What is that? And do worship Baal. Yeah, yeah, but is that what it is, just worshiping Baal? Is that, I think there's something, I don't know if it's called.
Like, something, because they, like, worship a couple of different gods, because Baal was only, like, to them, the god of one thing, like, I don't know, like, the air, or, like, fire, something along the lines of that. I don't remember. But like they still practice some of those things, which blows my mind.
I mean, it's crazy.
It might look slightly different, but it's the same old sin. It from way back what we read in the New Testament, in the Old Testament to now, it's the same old jacked up, messed up, sinful world.
And you know what's real crazy to me?
What?
You're talking about all that. There's somebody that could live that way their whole life, and they turn to Jesus, and it's all wiped away white as snow.
Power of forgiveness, man. That's crazy.
Freaking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't have. We don't have that kind of forgiveness.
I think that's why in parts of the Bible talks about, you know, at sometimes it's just going to be beyond our comprehension.
I don't understand a lot of things.
Yeah, and that's thinking about, you know, I think a lot of times we're so getting off topic, but I think a lot of times we can get ourselves in a spot where we're thinking like, man, how could God forgive somebody like this or like this or like this?
Dude, I think how can God forgive me sometimes?
Yeah, well, like what I was getting at that is we need to when we get to thinking like that of how could God forgive somebody like this, like that, like that, like that, we need to start thinking of how could God forgive somebody like me?
No kidding.
Because you don't know how God's going to use somebody.
And
you
we have can't no judge problem. Anybody's sin or salvation. Like, that's not our job. That's no. God's job. And I feel like I do a bad, I do it all the time. I judge other people and
yeah.
I bet this person, you know, and that's not our job.
I used this illustration once with my youth group, but we were like talking about all the things that Paul did or like while he was still Saul. If he was walking around doing what he was doing, like when he was persecuting Christians, literally killing them, like that was his job, was to go kill Christians. And how would we react if he walked up in church, told us he had been saved, and was ready to follow Jesus?
Oh, dude.
How would we have reacted to that?
Oh, my gosh. Not this guy.
Yeah, not this guy.
Not this guy.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, we don't comprehend God's forgiveness.
Yeah.
We really don't.
And even Paul, the wretched man I am.
Yep. That's so cool. We kind of got off topic right there, but that was a good point.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that, man. That just shows the holiness and the perfection and beauty of God that we literally cannot understand. He is holy, and we can't understand that.
And
we can acknowledge it, but man. Anyway, Landon has went on a mission trip this past week/weekend.
Yeah.
Where'd you go? Thursday through Sunday?
Yeah, so
I think it was about the same amount I went. So, you went to Springdale, right?
Yeah, so last week's episode we recorded on Wednesday night. And we got up Thursday morning and left. That's why we kind of had the technical difficulties that we did last week, is because we didn't have another day after that to record.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of had to go with what we had. But yeah, Thursday we left on a mission trip up to Springdale, Arkansas. We went and helped Summit Baptist Church. And man, it was... That was probably my sixth or seventh mission trip I've been on.
That's cool, man.
And that one ranked up there probably top two of my favorite ones I've ever been on.
Yeah.
Like most impactful ones that I felt like I've been on. Not only like impactful, which I'm gonna get into it and talk about all this stuff, but not even impactful on the aspect of people that we went there and helped, but while we were there, one of the kids in my youth group got saved. Like like that's
much more blessed to give than receive.
Yeah, like he got saved while we were up there. Like, you know, you're thinking, you know, kind of having the mindset of a mission trip, you're going to, you know, help other people, but you know, this kid going up there, you know, this wasn't even something that he realized that he needed.
Yeah.
And Friday night during the little service that we had after some of the work that we had done, he came up to us, me and our pastor just talking about, he said, you know, that what he was preaching about really hit me, and I feel like I need to be saved.
That's cool, man.
That's something that, you know, and maybe that was my fault for thinking that way. Going into that, that was, you know, one of the things that was on the back of my mind of something that would happen on this trip.
Yeah.
And that's something really cool about how God works is, it is wherever you go, whether it be a mission trip or, you know, just church maybe in general or whatever it is, you kind of have your pre set mind of how you think things are going to go, how God's going to use the situation, and he might use it in a completely different way that you don't know.
I went to Belize with really nothing on my mind. I didn't have expectation or anything, and I made the biggest turning point spiritually than I think I've ever made. So, I mean, it's
you
crazy.
Never know how God's going to use the situation.
Yeah, I mean.
a couple, before I get into this, just kind of on that same topic, a couple years ago we went to Flagstaff, Arizona on a mission trip, and we were basically going to do the same thing. Our plan of action at the time, what we were doing is when we were in Flagstaff is we were going door to door, just like hanging some door hangers, inviting some people to a vacation Bible school they were doing the next week that another group was coming up there to do. And I don't know if you know about Flagstaff, Arizona. Basically what it is, it's basically like a mountain. Like Flagstaff's like the highest point in Arizona. And so the thing is like when it rains there and stuff, it doesn't rain a lot there. But when it does rain, all that water, like when it gets to the top, it just all kind of like runs down. It doesn't just like rain and sit in one spot. in Flagstaff, the second day we were there, we were out passing out these door hangers, stuff like this. One of the biggest storms they've ever had comes. So much rain. It was crazy. And these people, like, their houses weren't even built to withstand this kind of rain, just because it doesn't happen there. And what was happening is this rain was flooding and rushing through the streets so bad that it was, like, getting in people's houses. It was, like, dragging their cars down the road. All this stuff. And, I mean, what we did in that moment is, you know, we had our preset idea of what we were going to go down there and do, and our plans totally changed. Like, what we ended up doing for literally the next 2 days was what they had was a huge station set up of just, like, some, like, red clay type of sand, and we were filling bags as people would back their trucks and cars up so that we could throw these in the back of these cars so that they could take them to their homes and, like, kind of, like, blockade off their house to, like, save their house from water flowing in and flooding the whole thing.
Like, redirecting the water?
Yeah, like, redirecting the water to where it just run down the streets.
Yeah.
Like, our plans completely changed. And I will tell you, like, that's one of the most impactful mission trips that I've ever, because it really felt like we went and we did something that made a difference. Because we had so many people ask us, because, like, what a lot of people would do is they'd pull up to this huge, like, dirt station with all these bags, and, you know, you'd get out and you'd fill the bags that you need, put them in your car, and leave. But we were just sitting there filling bags, giving them to people, and these people were like, well, do you not need them for yourself? They're like, no, you know, we're here doing this to help people.
Yeah.
And, like, the people search, well, why would you do that? And, like, that just opens up this awesome opportunity to just share the gospel. And, like, we had no clue how God was going to use that situation.
Sometimes God redirects your plan to reveal your purpose.
Whoa. Quote of the episode right there.
You just kind of put that in my mind right there. It's kind of, yeah. Because that's happened a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going one way. Ooh, put the blinker on. We're going the other way. And it always works out better if I listen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes I don't listen.
Absolutely.
Because we got a free will, and sometimes it's an awful thing.
Yeah.
But when you listen, and sometimes just waiting on God, and sometimes it's moving forward. Sometimes it's not sitting around waiting. Sometimes it's moving forward, you know? And, like, yeah, y'all are already moving that way. He just had something else designed for you.
We had a youth pastor tell us this once, and this is such a great piece of advice for any point of life. But the piece of advice that he always gave us when we would go on these mission trips is prepare to be flexible.
Yeah.
That's such a great piece of advice. Like,
it's kind of like we went down to Blaze. It's just, you know, we kind of had a plan, but we also had some other things in there. You know, we went and kind of different stuff.
Yeah. Prepare to be flexible.
Because God's got all kinds of stuff everywhere.
That you might not see.
Yeah.
It's just, it's one of those things of, like, when you have the mindset of seeking first the kingdom of God, you go where he's leading you, and
being sensitive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not being so hard-headed and, mm-hmm. like, this is what I'm going to do. Being yeah. sensitive and kind of having a plan. Having a plan's good.
Yeah. Being ready for him to show yeah. you something different. Yeah. Like, being, like, looking for
and
it.
And having a plan's good, you know? Like, having a plan, like, well, we'll try to do this, you know, do this. But then again, something happens. Being sensitive to that, knowing, yeah. like.
I think that's really, like, what it means in seeking first the kingdom of God. Because I think even if you're in a hard-headed attitude, you're not technically seeking first the kingdom of God. No. You're seeking first what you want to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think about, like, going back to Elijah. After he had that showdown with the prophets of Baal, and after he had that big showdown with them, he was threatened to be killed, and he, like, God told him to, like, go and just hide in the wilderness. And Elijah was in a spot of where he was just trusting. He had to trust God that day.
He was in solitude.
Yeah, he didn't know what was next. Yeah. He didn't know what laid ahead the next day. He didn't know where his food was going to come from. But God made a way every time. He yeah. provided. He where he went and hid in the forest, there just happened to be. It didn't just happen that there was a stream right there. I think God put it there for him.
Yeah.
Every day, like, these birds would bring him food. I mean, it was, you know, he didn't see the whole picture. He didn't know where it was going. But every step of the way, God was helping him, because he yeah. was still there seeking what God wanted for him.
Man, I saw a super cool video. I wish I could find it. But it's like a representation of, like, what it looks like to lean on God and let God guide you and let him place your steps. And it was like this, like, stick figure, like, climbing the ladder. And it was like every time his hand would go up to grab another rung on the ladder, there'd be, like, one place there. And sometimes that's yep. what it looks like for us. Sometimes we have two or three that we can grab onto going up, but sometimes it's right when we need it
yep.
that he puts there. And that was a super cool video. That took me a little bit. That was cool.
But so back to this mission trip. I don't even know where we eventually got off to that, but
I don't know.
But coming back to this mission trip, man, guys, this was one of my favorite mission trips I've ever gone on. I think first and foremost, this was my first time going on a mission trip, actually, like, as a youth pastor. That was cool. Instead of, like, I guess instead of,
as, like, a student, or
yeah,
you were kind of leading more,
mm-hmm.
yeah, more so like a leader.
Yeah, that was. It was more of a different aspect to it than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to kind of still, it's going to feel the same, you know, there isn't going to be, but there were different aspects to it.
How many youth kids did y'all have go with you?
16. That wasn't just teens, that was adult, like, some sponsors too, but I think we had 16 total, counting me. But, so what we were doing up at this church is, at Summit, it's a newer church. It's only been around for 6 or 7 years. It started off as a mission, so it's definitely a growing church. And one of the biggest things that we are doing is really just trying to help this church grow, getting name recognition out to the community yeah. was one of, like, the big goals.
A little bit more of, like, a foundation for them.
Yeah.
build more of that anyway.
Yeah, so what we had is they had four things going on, so, which was cool. It wasn't just us up there. It was us and probably about six other churches.
Oh, okay. So you had a crew.
Yeah, so we had a crew, because it wasn't... Oh, wow. There was four different things that we were doing. Actually, five. Five different things that we were doing. So there was five different teams. One was the kindness team. What this team was doing is they were basically, like, putting together some thank you baskets. They were taking them around to different places in the city, basically, like, fire departments, police stations, the mayor's office, places like that, just telling them thank you for what you do for our community, stuff like just saying thank you.
Yeah.
No, like, nothing more than that. Another team is they had, like, a fun in the sun thing. Like, they had, like, a bunch of, like, carnival games and, like, bounce houses set up.
Try to get everybody involved.
Yeah, just getting an interaction with the community. And they had, like, I want to say, like, 83-something people show up to that. So that was really cool.
We've been thinking about doing something with my church like that, too. Me yeah. and Harley had talked about that.
just getting the community involved. And they had, like, they invited everybody to come. There was, like, a little object lesson that they talked about in the middle of all that. Just a be able to share the gospel in a moment like that. Another thing that they had was a Lego camp. I guess you kind of almost picture it like a one-day vacation Bible school type of thing.
Yeah.
Like they like let the kids come in. They actually held that at the church. Come in, like play with some Legos and stuff. And they had like a couple object lessons in that that talked about the gospel, stuff like that. And then we had two more teams, a Blitz and a Bless team. And what this team was doing is we actually went out to these neighborhoods in Springdale. And we're going around house to house, putting door hangers just with some church information on their door handle. And the goal of all of these is our goal was just in any way we could, in all these different ways, we wanted to just share the gospel in a small way to these people. Because I think when you share the gospel with some people, I don't think it always has to be you sit them down, give them the whole spiel, walk them through the Roman road.
Sometimes it's just simple.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just planting a seed.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the mindset with this weekend. We don't necessarily know where God's going to lead these situations, but if nothing else, we want to be planting a seed.
That's something I want to talk about when you're done too.
But my team, me, a couple of the kids in my youth group, Michaela and our pastor brother Sean, what we were on was called the Bless Team. What we did was really cool is we were going around to these neighborhoods. We were doing the same thing the Blitz team was doing, going door to door, putting up these door hangers. But our job was a little bit different. What we were doing is actually going up to these doors, knocking on them, and if the people would answer and come to the door, we would simply just ask, like, say, like, hey, I'm Landon. I'm here with Summit Church in Springdale. We're going around to these local communities just seeing if there's anything that we could pray for you.
Yeah.
Simple as that right there.
Yeah.
Not saying, you know, hey, I'm here to
Jehovah's Witness.
I'm not here to, you know, make you come to church or tell you that you're a sinner.
Yeah.
Just seeing if there's something that I can pray for.
Just making people feel loved and like they're cared about and that because their concerns mean something to somebody.
And here was our goal in it, is asking people, because that's a good way to enter a conversation when you have people that maybe believe different things.
Yeah.
Because even if you believe different things or maybe not even believe in religion at all, a lot of people don't hate the idea of prayer.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a lot of, I was going to talk about that too. Go ahead.
But, and what our, Caleb Anderson was the one that headed this up, and he did a really good job with it. Like, it wasn't something that he just kind of threw us into. There was a lot of training that went into this. Because our goal with this is that in our prayers, we wanted to pray the gospel. And what I mean by that,
like, just kind of including it.
Yeah. Like, basically, like, one of the big things in it was, like, was in these prayers, you know, saying, like, you know, God, we want to thank you most of all for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can have this relationship with you.
Yeah.
Where we can come to you in prayer like this. You know, we don't have to go to a priest or something else or all these things. Like, we can come to you in prayer like this right here because of what your son Jesus did when he died on the cross.
Yeah.
And even if it's something as simple as that, just planting that seed right there. Because here's the thing. When it comes to prayer, one of the biggest things that we pray for a lot is short-term material things. Like, whether that be a financial situation, or, you know, maybe you're sick, or some things, but most of them revolve around this little small life right now. And, yes, those things are important, you know, in the moment, but ultimately the biggest thing that's more important than all those things is your relationship with Jesus.
That's kind of what we talked about last week, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, we love to get into pray for these people, for these things, but... You know, most importantly, we want them to know that there's a life after this life.
Yeah.
And
there's a hope.
Yeah, and where you spend that life after this life is the most important decision that you ever make. And that's what we were wanting to include in all these things. And I had a bunch of really cool, really different experiences.
I bet you had some cool conversations. And probably some bad ones.
Yeah. Just to give you a picture of what this what I want to talk about for the next couple minutes is two things. I want to tell you some of these stories, and then secondly, just some things that I got out of that.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I got, or the first story that I have is, we had been out of the, they dropped us out of the van. We hadn't been out of the van for 2 minutes. My little cousin Wilson, he was the one that got paired. We went in groups of two. He was the one that got paired up with me. He's never done something like this before. He was asking me all these questions. So what's it going to be like? What are people's?
Have you ever done something like that?
No. So I mean, it was just. But I mean, I've had conversations, you know, prayed with people, but never something
like
as,
that random. Like, yeah. Don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was kind of telling him, you know, I was like, you know, all the reactions are going to be different. I was like, some people will be responsive, some people will be very not responsive. And I, as I was telling them that, we were walking up to our first house. I guess second house. First house, we knocked, nobody answered. And we were walking to the second house is when he was asking me these questions. And we walk up to this house, knock on the door. This guy comes up to the door, and he opened it, and he had like a storm door.
Yeah.
So he didn't even open the storm door, and he like lowers this thing, the screen, and
he's closed off.
No, he's like, how can I help you? I gave him my little spiel. Hey, I'm landing here with Summit. Is there any way I can pray for you? Nope. Closes that thing right in my face.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
hard, buddy.
I turned to Wilson. I was like, we might get some responses like that. I was like, that's part of it.
But then again, you go to houses and you may get into this, but like sometimes. All somebody's looking for is that conversation, a little bit of hope,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people, that's all they're looking for is a little bit of hope.
And I actually had one of those.
Man,
that's
cool.
Yeah.
Like a breakdown crying one?
No, I mean, I would say it was close to it, but we I won't lie to you, we got a lot of doors slammed in our face.
Yeah.
You know, not in truth.
Yeah.
But,
that's not what you're there for, though.
Travis Whitley, one of the guys that was with us, he was another guy heading it up. He told us something really interesting and that really motivated me. He said, God already sees how all this is going to finish.
Oh, yeah.
He said, he knows who's going to open the doors. He said, he knows how this situation is going to be used. He said, you just be faithful. And that was something that, like, when somebody would slam into my face, like, okay, you know. God, I did what I was supposed to do right there.
Yeah.
Sometimes doing what God wants you to do doesn't always end exactly how. It's not always a big pretty picture.
No.
But regardless, we did what we needed to do. that was one of them. Another one was we went up to this guy's house and we had knocked on his door, asked him if we could pray for him. And, you know, off the start, he really pondered on it. You could tell he really wanted to tell us no, but it was almost...
God was working on him.
God was working on him. He's like, man, he said, me and my girlfriend are about to have a baby. He said, like, she's, like, due any day now. and we just kind of sat there and talked to him for a minute about that. He kind of explained just some of the stuff that they were going through with that. And so I prayed for the guy. And then afterwards I talked to him, you know. What we had with us were some contact cards. I was like, you know, man, just to call back and check up on you. Is there any way we can get your phone number? Stuff like that. Just so, you know, we can call back in and check on you. Like, you know, with the pastor of this church. He was like, man, I would love that. He said, a long time ago, I used to go to church. He said, but then it was either his mom or his dad that had died. I think it was his mom. And he said because of that situation, he ended up basically blaming God for it. He got out of church. He said, and, you know, ever since this baby's been, you know, coming, he said, I've really felt that pull in my heart that I need to get back in church. I need to get my relationship right back with God. And he was like, he said, you know, this was really something crazy that you showed up at my door asking if you could just pray for me. Like, that's so cool. Just God using a situation like that.
Yeah.
That was the last thing that guy saw coming.
Oh, yeah.
And that was probably the last thing that I saw coming on the other side of that door.
Mm.
But God knew that he needed that in his life.
Yeah.
I mean, is that not the coolest thing ever?
I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
Those stories, man, like those, like, God moments. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all that is. It's a God moment. That's so cool, man.
Another one we had, this was probably, I'll save that one for next. Because this third one was one that was actually pretty motivating. Is we had more groups than just us. Like, we were all branched off, like, in hitting different neighborhoods, stuff like that. And this was the second day of us doing it. We had gotten out. We were wearing these certain shirts, so that first off, when they were driving around, they could see where we were.
Yeah.
Kind of easier to keep up with us. But also, it had the church's name on it. If people were outside looking, just a little bit more recognition stuff. But this, we were walking up to this lady, and she recognized our shirts. She said, "I actually live somewhere different, and y'all were at my house yesterday and came and prayed for me."
Huh.
She said, "This is my grandkid's house. I'm just over here watching my grandkids."
Huh.
She said, "We had something come up today. Is there possibly any way that you could pray for this too?" And like something so small like that affected her so much that the second that she saw us, she went right back to that and came to us. Like, she walked up to us asking for this prayer.
Man.
Like, that was really motive. And I had no clue. I didn't talk to this lady yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That was just, that was something that was really cool too. And we sat there and we talked to that lady for a while.
Yeah.
There were so many different responses, man. I came up on this one guy. He was outside in his yard chipping some golf balls.
Heck yeah.
And I walked up to him and I kind of gave him my spiel.
You gotta know Jesus if you play golf, bro. Because you gotta have something to calm that storm.
Patience.
Yeah.
You can talk to somebody for like 3 seconds and tell if they're just like full blown frat bro.
Oh yeah. That was him, bro.
He was full blown frat bro.
Yeah.
I went up and talked to him. He's like, "Man," he was like, "I don't actually own this house." He said, "The dude that owns this house is going to be here in like 5 minutes. Would you want to just stay until he got here and we could all pray together?" I was like, "Sure, man.
Give me the golf club."
Well, we literally just sat there and, I mean, I got to sit there and this dude was longer than 5 minutes, but I got to sit there and just talk to this dude about golf, just kind of about life.
Did you hit golf balls?
No, I didn't.
Oh, come on now.
I know. I mean, that was just a real random, really cool experience. Yeah. I got to pray for both of them, meet both of those guys. And then this was my favorite one. So a rule that we had was that if somebody had a no soliciting sign on their house, do you know what that is?
Yeah.
If they had a no soliciting sign on their house.
Outside of every gas station in Mallard.
Yeah. if they had that on their house. Usually if you go into these big, like, rich neighborhoods, some people have those on their door.
Yeah.
Just means they don't want you to come talk to them. Technically, what we were doing, it wasn't soliciting. But just to respect their privacy, if we saw it, we wouldn't go up to it.
Yeah.
This was definitely God working in a situation. What we ended up figuring out later in this story is this guy's wife had hung up a 4th of July sign and it was covering their no soliciting sign.
Heck yeah. And that's like all God.
Yeah. But we...
Because they definitely didn't know y'all were coming up there.
No, we walk up to this door and the dude has like his door open and just like the screen door is covering it. This guy walks up to the door and he's another one. He doesn't even open the screen. He just like pulls down the thing. And you could tell he was a little annoyed. He was like, "Yeah, how can I help you?" And I gave him the same spiel, asked him if we could pray for him. And, like, you know, his face kind of, there's one more I got to tell you about. Don't let me forget that. His face was kind of annoyed, how can I help you? And I told him, you know, is there anything I pray for? And you could kind of tell his, like, demeanor just, like, kind of changed. Like, that kind of took him by shock. Because, you know, if you have a no soliciting sign up, the people you're expecting to come to your house are people, you know, trying to sell you a washing machine or, you know, or something like that, trying to get you to buy something or sign up for something. And and you could tell that, like, he remembered that sign was covered. He was like, "Crap, I got to go talk to these people." And but when I told him, I was like, you know, "We're not selling nothing and we're just trying to see if we could pray for some people." He like kind of changed a little bit. and like you kind of tell something was on his mind, but you know he still was like, you know, he was still kind of,
because every person that's probably ever walked up to his house like, hey, can I mow your yard, hey, can I power wash your house,
and his original response was like, I mean, nothing specific really, no, I mean, I'm good. He's like, I don't think so. And usually if people would like tell me that response right there, I would follow it up with, well, can I just pray for you anyways?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. And so I prayed for him. And somewhere along in the prayer, what I said was, you know, God, I don't know what this guy's going through in his life. I said, I hardly know him. I just met him seconds ago. But God, I understand that you see every bit of his life. You see the struggles. You see the hardships. And anytime these hardships come up, God, I just pray that he always turns to you in it.
Yeah.
And after I got done praying, this dude, like, completely opened up to me.
Yeah.
He was like...
Spelled it.
Well, first off, he had told me that, like, you know, walking up to my door, he was like, yeah, my no soliciting sign's covered. I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry, dude. I was like, I didn't even see that. I was like, I'm dead honest to you. If I would have saw that sign, I wouldn't even walked up here. He was talking about how, like, his wife had left it up. But, like, he explained to me that, like, 6 months ago, his wife had been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Good Lord.
And how it's really affected his relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of like what we talked about last week in the trials and stuff. He's had all these questions of why. Why would God do this? You know, he's got two kids. Why would he put his kids through this?
Yeah.
And he said it, he's really struggled with it.
Yeah.
And he said, like, he heard me say that in that prayer, and that really, like, hit him. And we seriously sat in this dude's, like, doorway and talked to him for, like, 30 minutes. And, man, he opened up to me about the whole situation.
He probably needed to get it out.
He did. To this random dude that he had no clue who I was. No clue. Didn't know me. Didn't know my last name. And he spilled it all to me. Like, you could tell this was a guy that just needed to sit there and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And
bottled it up.
Mm-hmm. And it was really cool because, like, I could relate it back to him, like the feelings that I felt when I went through the situation with my mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, afterwards, and this was really something that I felt a little uncomfortable with, but I was like, man, I was like, I know this is awkward and weird and that I just prayed for you. I was like, but I didn't know this. Do you care if I pray for you again and just pray specifically for that?
Yeah.
He's like, I'd love that. And I did, and man, that was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had.
Dude, that sounds like a heck of a freaking mission trip.
Yes. I mean, and that, like, was...
Like, piggybacking off of that, like, sometimes, like, we can look back, like, those, like, crazy, like, what is this, what are you doing, God, type things. I know a lot of people have a deeper anger towards God, you know, about some of that stuff, but sometimes, like, we can look back and we can see why God did it, and sometimes we can look back and we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we can understand is that we live in a broken world. And no matter what, God can use the bad things that anger you for good, as bad as that sucks to say.
Yeah. I mean, it was just so cool. This guy that, I mean, I probably would have never talked to him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever would have. If that sign wouldn't have been covering his no soliciting sign, I would have never got to go talk to this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, God, that was all God right there in that situation. I got one more I got to tell you about, and then we got to get close to wrapping up.
Okay. I'm going to finish with something.
We had one guy. We went and rang his doorbell. We rang it one time. Just ding. That's all we did. This guy, we're sitting here facing his door. He comes out of his garage, and he comes up from behind us. This dude is every bit of 350 pounds. Big old cornfed.
You think y'all robbing him?
No. Oh. He was... Evidently, for some reason, like, I don't know if his, like, doorbell went off a whole bunch of times in his house. I don't know what happened, but he came barreling out from behind us mad. He, like, busted up. He was like, why the F do you keep ringing my doorbell, like cussing us up and down.
And y'all rang it one time.
I rang the doorbell one. I rang it one time. I was like, sir, I'm sorry, I only rang it once. He's like, what the H are you here for? And I told him,
to get you out of there.
I was like, and I just told him, I was like, man, we're just coming around seeing if we could pray for people. And the dude's whole demeanor changes. And he's like, actually, yeah. He's like, me and my wife just had, you know, twins. They're 2-month-olds. He's like, and we've been going through a really big adjustment phase.
Yeah.
He's like, I'd really appreciate some prayer. And I prayed for the dude, and he apologized for coming off so hard and rude.
Dude, that's going to be me, though. Hopefully not with the language, but you never know, bro. If I'm home and my doorbell rings that many times, you know, I'm coming around, what are you doing?
Yeah, but I...
And his doorbell's probably broke. You know, if it wasn't broke and it wouldn't ring that many times, he may have never come around there.
I know.
You know what I mean?
And, like... And, like, something I took is that, like, you know, you don't know what people are going through.
No, man. And that's the thing about that mission trip.
Yeah.
I mean, just showing that, like, y'all probably rang on hundreds of houses.
But
seeing the amount of brokenness people are, and the amount of trials and stuff that people are in right now.
Yeah.
And just one small town and one small neighborhood, two small neighborhoods, you know.
Two small things that I took out of that that I wrote down is... One is just having a willingness to serve.
Yeah.
Like, that is so, so vital for being a Christian.
As hard as it sounds sometimes, as busy as our life is, and as busy as it can get, that's really, really important. Because love gives.
Having a willingness to serve. Yeah. Like,
that's how God fills you up. Mm-hmm. When you serve and you give, the more you give, the more, but you got to fill up yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
But God gives you joy from that.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a lady today, just downstairs over here, and she's sitting outside listening to her gospel music, and she just had your dog, had Molly.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm scared of dogs. And we just got to talking about fear of dogs and my fear of sharks, and we just went into all this, kind of just laughing, and just she was just so joyful and just laughing, and I sit there, probably talked to her for 20, 30 minutes. And it's just like leaving that conversation, like you just got like so much joy, just giving like some of your time to somebody just to talk to them, you know?
Just the willingness.
Yeah. That's not really serving, but it's just kind of giving your, you know.
Yeah. I mean, kind of like.
I've been doing a lot of things in that 30 minutes.
Like what we talked about, you know, you don't know where God's going to open a door. You don't know. You don't know where he's going to open a door.
Can I finish on one thing here? Oh, do you got something else? Got one more thing?
One more thing. The second thing I got out of that is learning to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Dude, one of my favorite things ever.
Like,
that's how you grow.
There is nothing comfortable about walking up to somebody's door, knocking,
dude,
and saying,
shaking.
Because you don't know what's on the other side of that door.
No, with all the crazy crap that happens in the world with guns and violence and all this crap.
You don't know what's on the other side
of
that door.
Yeah.
You don't know how people are going to respond when you open the door. You don't know how they're going to respond when you ask that question.
Somebody may have a shotgun in their hand coming to that door. You never know. I'm glad y'all didn't experience that this weekend.
Facts. But something that God promised us is that serving him, you know, it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be the most comfortable thing in the world. But if you just have a will, like the first thing I said, if you just have a willingness, if you understand that it's going to be uncomfortable, but it's okay.
It's expectation.
He's
like, you expect it to be uncomfortable, so when it is what you expected.
Yeah.
That's what I learned a lot about here lately is expectations. Me and Liv have been talking a lot about it. Like, what you expect from either some people or some situations, or when you expect, you can expect something really good, and then when you get something really bad, it's going to bring you down more.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to finish on this, Lando. God saves you, nothing else. And he calls us to serve and do that kind of stuff. And I just wanted to say this, kind of been on my heart. A preacher doesn't save you. A podcast with me and Lando doesn't save you. TikTok doesn't save you. Alcohol doesn't save you. Drugs don't save you. Your phone, golf, whatever, none of that saves you. And, like, me and Landon talking on here, we're not trying to save people. And we just hope
that if we can lead you to it.
Leading, yes. That's what he calls us to do, is a lead. But at the end of the day, that question you have to answer is between you and God, and that prayer and that commitment and that surrender to God is something that has to be personal. And all anybody that talks about Jesus should be trying to do, not all should be trying to do, is just to lead you on that right path. Yeah. And me and Lando just hope that we can do that.
I mean, that was our mindset with this trip. And if all we're doing is just planting a seed that leads
to that's that. What, yeah, when you said that earlier, I was like, yes. That kind of got me thinking about it a little bit.
I mean.
And that's our job as Christians, you know. I mean, that's what God called, you know, just plant the seed. And it's not hard. Sometimes you got to sacrifice time. Sometimes you got to sacrifice money.
If we plant the seed, he's going to be the one that grows it.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about the outcome. He's got that handled.
Our job's simple. His job's hard. Not for him. Not but, for him. You know,
it's not something that we can do.
It's tough to turn some of these lives around. It's kind of tough to turn me sometimes.
But I don't know. That's a big thing that we want to get. That's a big thing that we just want to get across in this show is especially this episode, is if God's calling you to plant a seed, plant it.
Do it.
Don't have expectations of what you think is going to happen, what it's going to look like. Trust that God knows how the situation's going to finish. All he asks you to do is just obey.
And trust that he is going to give you joy no matter what. When you go and serve people and you go and plant those seeds and stuff, like, it's not like you're fixing to go out there and feel like you've just done something so bad. God's going to lift you up. And he's going to strengthen you.
I'll tell you something. I never feel more like joy-filled and just on fire for God than when I'm out serving other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that is what does it for me.
Yeah.
I will always be somebody who loves service, who loves, like, outreach.
Yeah.
I love going and doing stuff for other people. Nothing gets me more on fire for God than that there.
I mean, more blessed to give than receive. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that, and I'll always say it. And you get blessed because of it.
Absolutely.
But your joy and your peace and just peace of mind. But
One point that I just wanted to get across in all of that, of giving this whole spiel about this mission trip is sometimes God is going to call you to something that just might not be the most comfortable thing in the world.
And be sensitive to it.
That's so okay. That is so okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't always call us to the easy, simple.
No.
More times than not, it's to the hard, uncomfortable.
Yeah, I wish it was.
But guess what? That's where he can use us in the biggest ways. Yeah. All it took was one little uncomfortable step of faith of me going up and knocking on somebody's door. And what a great opportunity it opened just to share the gospel with somebody.
And we can do this right here in Malvern, Arkansas, too. Absolutely. So don't think you can't. There's always opportunity. Not always, but
I think.
I mean, maybe. But there's, like, where God, like, really, if he shows you and you can see it and you feel that, just do it.
Just do it.
I feel guilty if I don't. So I'm guilty about something right now. We're not going to share that, but.
It's been a good episode.
We are running out of time.
I know. Well, thank y'all for listening.
Yeah, and we are on our new little setup here thanks to a great man. But anyway, guys, we're going to close out here, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Oh, we can't say that either. Gosh. We're still leaving that in.
Thank you all for joining us this week on All for the Glory.
Make sure to check us out on our social media platforms. We've got Instagram, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, at All for the Glory Podcast.
Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Thank you all, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Peace.